In October, it was announced that Reverend John Jenkins would step down from his role as the 17th president of the University of Notre Dame. Since then, we've had a chance to reflect on the ways he's shaped and grown our university and its impact over the past 19 years. To name just a few, Notre Dame was invited to join the nation's most prestigious association of research universities. The caliber of admitted students is higher than it's ever been, and the university continues to attract superb faculty. And the university continues to increase its global engagement, both here on campus and around the world. While we could continue to list his accomplishments, we can think of nothing better than to invite Father John to reflect with us on his tenure in this special episode of Notre Dame Stories. Father John, thank you so much for your time. It's so great to see you.
It's great to be here with you, Jenna. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Now, it's been 6 months since the announcement that you are stepping down as president. Have you had the chance to reflect yet, or has it just been far too busy?
You know, it has been busy. You're closing out stuff and you're coming to the end, and you're also working on transition with Father Bob. So there's a lot to do. However, I think to the extent I've had time to reflect, I think I look forward to the change, but it is bittersweet. I've enjoyed the job. I've loved the people I work with, and I will miss them. But I do look forward to the transition and something new and getting back to things I did before, like teaching and reading and writing.
We're going to get right into some of your career highlights, which are just such points of pride for the Notre Dame campus community. Now, we had Jeff Rhodes, our vice president for research, on our last podcast, and you put him at the helm at such a critical time for our university. We've seen a 338% increase in research funding during your time here. And of course, the university was invited to be part of the Association of American Universities, the AAU, the most prestigious research association in the country. I know that was a longstanding goal for you. So could you talk about your roadmap to get there? And then what is it about our body of work as a university that puts us in that elite group?
Well, it was when we came in 2005, we recognized that Notre Dame's reputation was largely its undergraduate education, which was superb and recognized as such. And we wanted to continue that. But the area of growth was really in our research. Now, it must be said, we had some superb scholars at Notre Dame at the time in humanities and in the sciences, but we were less comprehensive and strong in the sciences, which is really where you get most attention. But, the humanities are extremely important at the same time. So one of the great days at Notre Dame was when I hired Tom Burrish as provost in 2005. And Tom was masterful. He had been provost at Vanderbilt. He had been president at Washington Lee. So he was highly experienced. And really, Tom kind of had a sense of, how do we build this? Because humanities, philosophy, theology, et cetera, they're a little, frankly, less expensive than buying a lab and a research team. And so you needed to be thoughtful and pick your spots in science and engineering. And we did that. And we invested in a significant way, made some great hires. Those hires attracted other people, but it was a sort of gradual build. But a dramatic increase, as you mentioned, just great increase. And the credit goes to Tom's vision, but also the deans during that time. Really emphasize it, and our faculty. They're the ones that earn it. Really, it's a recognition for them more than it is for me. And we just have superb faculty and ever more impact of our research here at Notre Dame.
And you must be excited to see how that grows. We're just at the beginning, really.
It is. You know, there's this image from this book I read when I first came in of a flywheel. And, when you start the flywheel, you're just pushing, and it's, you don't get, you know, it doesn't go very fast, but as you get momentum, it goes faster and faster. And I feel that's where we are, that we've got some momentum here. Jeff Rhodes and John McGreevy will continue that trajectory. And I think they'll just build on what we've accomplished so far.
Notre Dame has been committed to connecting research to not just the graduate experience, but the undergraduate experience as well. So I'd like to talk about our students for a little bit. The unsurpassed undergraduate experience, it's such a hallmark of this university. And over the past two decades, we've made advances in the caliber of the undergraduate student body as well. So I just want to read you some highlights, if that's okay first. Sure. Close to 90% of admitted students are in the top 5% in national test scores. That's up from about 60 in 2005. Notre Dame has produced 60 prestigious scholars, including six Rhodes Scholars since 2014. And we've had a 97% increase in international students during your time as president. That includes both undergraduates and graduate students. So our body, our student body is evolving, but your focus has always been on student success. That's been central. And you've said before, I know, Father John, that interactions with students give you energy. And how could they not? But can you tell me a little bit about what kinds of interactions give you energy and what interactions do you cherish most with our students?
Well, I would say, you know, research has been, as we mentioned, a great story, but, you know, you can't improve the research at the expense of the undergraduate studies. And one of the things I'm most proud of is that we haven't done that. There's this commitment, as you mentioned, students are ever more involved in the scholarly work of our faculty, which helps their education. And they're just a talented group. There's no doubt about it. It's just a talented group. But I think I'm most proud of the fact that they combine that, those abilities, which are significant, and the great teaching with a sort of, we say we educate the head and the heart, mm-hmm. with a sense of purpose in their lives, I hope, a sense of service, a sense of wanting to have an impact for good in the world. I see that in our undergraduates, and I hope that continues. It is impossible to spend time with these young people and not be, find their energy infectious, find their hope and their aspirations infectious, their promise. That's one of the great things of working at a university, is working with young people and helping them to chart their path and helping them to grow and seeing their, you know, they come, as I often say, they come as kids. They come right out of high school, but they really leave as adults. And to be, to walk with them during that that transition to adulthood is one of the great privileges anyone has.
And you really do get to have authentic, genuine interactions. I've seen them.
No, yeah,
those must be special for you.
I do. I actually, if I look forward to one thing, it's the fact that I'll have a little more time for that, because that's really why it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because you get to know these young people. You get to walk with them on their path. You get to see them grow. And I, as I often say, I'll say at this time of graduation, my proudest moments are when I meet one of our graduates and they talk about the great work they're doing, and whether it's medicine or business or service of various kinds, and just to see the tremendous work that they're doing. So I just get great gratification from that.
There may be no more important ingredient in student success and the success of our faculty and staff, I would say, than creating a sort of community where everyone feels like they belong. Could you talk about why your work in diversity, equity, inclusion is so important to you, and then why it's so important for Notre Dame right now?
Well, you know, I want to give credit to a lot of people. One person is Hugh Page, who's our vice president for institutional transformation, works in this area. And one of the thing about this, the diversity, equity, inclusion, it's not just something that we at Notre Dame should be concerned with now or at this present moment. It really comes from the core of who we say we are and who we want to be. Hugh has use some words from Dr. Martin Luther King, the beloved community. It sort of has a scriptural resonance that, you know, it's not just that we treat people equally or fairly, though we should do that. We must do that. And I think we do try our best to do that. But they're part of a community where they feel and are beloved, that they're welcomed into this community as a whole person. That's true regardless of who you are, regardless of your group, regardless of your background, regardless of what you bring. And that comes from the core of our mission. You know, it's not just a legal commitment. It's not just it's something we check off. It's the kind of community you want to be. And that is essential to what makes Notre Dame special. That is a community where you don't just work, but you're part of a community. Now, we're not perfect, and I'd be the first to admit that, and we have much to grow. But at least in terms of our commitment, it comes from the very core of who we say we are and our mission.
I know you've talked about how important it is that Notre Dame not just be a local or a regional or even a national university, but that we have truly a global impact. As you look back over your 19 years, can you reflect for us on how Notre Dame has grown to be a global university?
Well, you know, that was one of our key emphases from the earliest days. Again, Tom Birch was a great partner in this. To internationalize Notre Dame. And we had created these global gateways around the world where Notre Dame would have a presence in Rome and in Beijing and in Latin America and in London, so that it would present Notre Dame to those places, but also take those places and help us take in what is there. And so be a kind of network of international interaction. So that's been very important. There's been more research in that area. I think our faculty and our student body has become more international. Why do we do this? Well, obviously we're a global world and you know, their interactions are global. We have to prepare our students for the world that they'll live in. But even at a deeper level, a Catholic university, Catholic means universal. The connections we have are certainly in terms of our state, in terms of our national identity, all those things. But really, it's a human family, and we should be connected with the whole human family. And being more international helps our students and helps Notre Dame to be more interconnected with the global human family.
You have led Notre Dame to become a preeminent research university, but always in the context of our Catholic identity. While some of our peers, including some of our peers in the AAU, have moved away from their religious affiliations, Notre Dame has stood firm. Why is it so important that we keep our Catholic identity as our North Star?
Well, look, it is, I've often said it's one of our great assets. And I want to say, first of all, that doesn't mean our Catholic identity doesn't mean that, you know, people who aren't Catholics are not welcome in Notre Dame or not. They are very much part of the family. But we're rooted in a tradition that gives us a clarity about our mission, a consistency in our purpose, and it gives us a sort of moral direction. I mean, in the broadest sense, that it gives us a sort of norms. You know, we care about the poor. We care about a sustainable planet. We care about democratic institutions, not because it's an interesting topic to study, but rather because it's good for humanity. And it's sort of morally imperative that we do these things. That's and the wonderful thing, if I'm proud of anything, is that there's just a broad recognition that that's who we are. Some people aren't Catholic, some aren't believers, but they say, okay, that's what we do, that's who we are. And that I say is one of our greatest assets, because it allows us to focus, and it gives us a distinctive voice. It makes us different. And I think it's been one of the great strengths of Notre Dame, and will continue to be that.
Mm-hmm. And there are so many moments and milestones we've talked about that are sources of pride for our campus community and alumni and friends. And you mentioned our North Star as being a pride point for you. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you haven't mentioned that is just really something that you feel great about in your heart as you go into your next chapter?
Well, I I could mention 100 things that I remember in terms of great successes, but I think the thing overriding, I kind of mentioned it, but I'd repeat it, is that, you know, a lot of places, a lot of great universities have become great at research by kind of diminishing undergraduate, the importance of undergraduate teaching and the quality of undergraduate teaching. And there's the temptation because you want to reward the great researchers, but, you know, teaching is a back seat. I don't think we've done that. I really think our faculty at Notre Dame know that that's teaching students is absolutely critical. So that we've held those things in balance. But the third thing is, as we mentioned, the Catholic mission, that, you know, you can emphasize academic excellence, both teaching and research, and kind of turn away from this broader set of commitments that come from our Catholic mission. I don't think we've done that. I think we those three things have stayed in balance and are equal parts of what we say we are, what we want to do, and how we understand ourselves. And that's a hard thing to kind of, because it's easy to do one of those things, but to do two and then three is pretty challenging. But I quote our coach, our football coach, Marcus Freeman. He says, choose hard, choose hard. I think if I'm most proud of anything is that we've chose hard and we've had some success at that.
What excites you about your next phase of life?
Well, to be honest, what most excites me is having the time to go back to reading books, to writing, and to thinking, and to teaching. The thing about this job, which I've loved, is that your time is pretty heavily scheduled. And so you're always, there's a clock ticking in your head. You got to do the next thing, get on the next thing. So you don't have that time to really just reflect on things or to spend time as much time with students as you'd like. And so I look forward to getting back and being a faculty member because it's a wonderful thing to be. So I think that's the thing that most excites me. Also, the fact that, you know, I won't get those calls at night or whatever, that there's this problem or that problem. I could say, well, that's somebody else's problem.
That it will be. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Now, Father Bob Dowd takes over as president on June 1st. Mm-hmm. And during your time as president, you've certainly had a lot of members of the campus community and beyond praying for you. So my question for you is, what is your prayer for Father Bob now?
Well, you know, I'd say, you know, you don't come into these jobs fully prepared. You know, I wasn't. Though Bob's worked very hard in the past 6 months, you know, be well, but it's a learning curve. And so I always felt that however the day went, whatever stumbles or mistakes or whatever happened, come the next day knowing more and being better prepared. So learn each day so that the next day you come in, you're better prepared to do your job. And I think that attitude, and Bob will have it. And that's my, it's just learn every day and come in the next day better prepared to do your job. He'll be prepared when he starts, but I think for anybody who takes a job like this, we got a lot to learn.
Learn each day. Yeah. We will take that to heart. Thank you for your time, Father John. Thank you for your time leading Our Lady's University.
Jenna, it's been a pleasure. I want to thank you for this conversation, but I want to thank every member of the Notre Dame family for all they've done to make my time as president so successful. I know it's not me. I know it's them. And I couldn't be more grateful to them. And I just feel I've had the greatest blessing of working with such wonderful people.
We're grateful as well. Thank you. Thanks for joining us for Notre Dame Stories, the official podcast of the University of Notre Dame. Find us on stories.nd.edu and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Notre Dame Stories is created by the Office of Public Affairs and Communications with executive producer Andy Fuller, content coordinator Stacy Stikovich, editors Michael Weens and Jessica Seif. Videographers Zach Dudka and Tony Fuller. Our music is by Alex Mansour. And I'm your host, Jenna Liberto.